from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State and beyond, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Perfect time to get your Lucky Buck out now, get the antler growth going. Also, helps the health of the overall herd and lots of other animals that decide to hit up the Lucky Buck spots. You can refresh them every month, a little bit here, about a quarter bucket out here and there. And you can, again, find out all the details at lucky-buck.com, a direct link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And that'll get you all the information for your area, wherever you're at in the 50 states of our great country. And again, hit us up on the Facebook. Follow us there if you'd like. Facebook.com/WildMichigan, and all, again, podcasts available at WildMichiganRadio.com. My buddy Scott Sciarra is joining us here from Primal Instinct Television on the Outdoor Channel right now. A little downtime during the summer. And Scott, welcome back to the show, brother. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Like you, I'm like, God, what do I do? I mean, look, I live in Michigan. We can fish anything. You know, freshwater here, not an issue at all. Turkey season's over with. A couple of months away from bow season. But, dude, in the meantime, what are you doing? What are you doing on downtime? You have a busier schedule than I do.
Well, you know what? We're the summertime is kind of a get back and do some vacations with the family and work. And then we start 4th of July. Seems like I always start to... My neck starts to swell up again. I start seeing deer in fields and velvet, and I start thinking about it hard again. And now we're starting to get back into playing food plots and putting our cameras out in the field and all the preparation stuff we need to do to help to be successful in the fall. So,
now, Scott Sciarra is a friend of mine. We met him at ATA a few years ago. We've kept in contact over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Missed you this year at ATA with the great snowstorm that happened.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. Nashville freaked out because they had like an inch of snow and we flew in. The town was shut down. Dude, you're from Philly. I'm from Michigan. We get snow. We understand snow.
Yep. No, it was the worst winter ever on the East Coast for us. It was just snowstorm after snowstorm. Couldn't wait for it to go away. But yeah, they definitely, those southern states had not prepared for it. And he had to kind of just got in just before that storm got there. And he kept a lot of people out of the show. And it's sad that it seems like that show keeps getting smaller and smaller each year.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of other shows popping up around the country. Folks not in the industry really don't know, but the Archery Trade Association show is like the place where the industry comes to see the new technology, what's new broadhead-wise, what's new in innovations, what new bows are coming out. You've been a bow hunter for a long time, Scott. How much farther can we really go? Because speed is important to a degree, but accuracy sometimes gets lost with that much speed.
Yeah, well, you know what? I feel like it's crazy. Like with the technology, some of these new companies, even these speed bows, they feel like they're easier to shoot than us. You know, a bow was 5 years ago. I mean, the technology is crazy. I always said we'd never get to 300 feet per second, and then we got now we're at 350, and now we're at 370. You know, I just enjoy, as you know, forget the TV thing, just as, you know, outdoorsman. Like, I'm like a kid in a candy store walking into that show, and I can't get around to, you know, look at all the new products and broadheads, and you know, it's like Christmas morning for us when that door opens and we get to go in there. And it's business for us. We do a lot of our deals there and meeting with people. There's nothing like, you know, getting in there and seeing all the new stuff and who's coming out with something cool this year.
Exactly. Scott Sciarra is joining us here from Primal Instinct TV on the Outdoor Channel. Working with Wilson Reynolds, how is Wilson holding up?
He's doing good. He like has still battling that Lyme disease, which has been tough. It's crazy that, you know, it affects people differently, and he's had a rough run at it where it's almost made him, you know, blind in both eyes. They've been trying to, you know, coax him back little by little, but he's doing really good, and he seems like he's, you know, getting better, which is a good thing, and makes it tough for, you know, him to do as much stuff as he used to with us. But we get down to his place a lot on the eastern shore of Maryland and just, you know, tear it up and laugh, you know, like we do. We have fun. I think the one thing that we do everywhere we go, we take it serious, but we always laugh, have a good time, and I think that's what it's all about, especially as you get older. We kind of cool. We do this youth military hunt every year in Kentucky, and the first year I was kind of we did it for 3 years, and it keeps growing. And we get these youths that have never hunted before, and it started out with like 40 kids, and just keeps growing and growing. And this year I took two kids that lost their dad, which was totally insane. And, you know, you try to capture the moment. And usually you get into the blind with these kids and you say, you know, tell me about your dad or your mom. And they say, well, you know, he'll be home in 2 days and 2 years and 5 minutes and 30 seconds. He's in the Air Force. And these two kids lost their dad. So it was really a completely different, you know, challenge. But after 5 minutes, we were laughing, having fun, eating candy in the blind. They both killed deer. And that hunt this weekend is... the last year or two is going to be awarded that we captured the Quality Deer Management Hunt of National Hunt of the Year. So It's really cool to, you know, to be able to capture that on film, be a part of it, and have it grow. And it's grown, just watch it grow every year. And, you know, we get caught up about ourself. But that hunt is absolutely hands down. Now, I think as I get older, I appreciate it. My most favorite hunt we do every year is giving these kids a chance. I remember you see five or six grown men sitting in a food plot because there's a company that down there that's partnered with Biologic to let us hunt their farm, and we're five grown men in the food plot crying. You know, these little kids are so excited because they got to get in the woods and shoot their first deer. It's just an awesome, awesome experience.
It is. And, you know, Scott Scarra is joining us here from Primal Instinct TV on the Outdoor Channel. You get to do things, you get to help people on a level that other people see. But when it comes down to it, despite the fact there's like four or five networks devoted to just outdoors television, and there are over 500 shows out there, this is a small industry, and the opportunities are not out there like as many people think.
Yeah, what was crazy was, you know, that was in September, and me and the kids all stayed in touch. I would always call, text them, and they text me, and I'd say, how you doing? You know, they send me pictures of themselves, and, you know, good stuff, you know. And they become like, you know, little buddies. And of all days, I was sitting on the couch, and the two little boys text me on Father's Day, and they didn't have a father, and I was like, wow, like, that was like, why did they have to text me today of all days, you know? And it really kind of, you know, hit home. But I don't know if we did something that made them touch them, or something we brought that up that day, but that was a real honor to, you know, to have them, you know, text me on Father's Day. And I guess it meant we did. It makes you really feel good and appreciate it, you know what I mean? And I can't wait to do it again in a few months.
Absolutely. It is coming that fast. September, of course, coming up. A lot of people going to start late August, September, bear hunting. Are you going to be doing the same?
Yeah, we do some early season stuff in Kentucky, but to believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of people. I mean, you know how many hunters there is in Pennsylvania and Michigan, and you always like to, because my passion is, you know, the one-on-one challenge of, you know, finding a big buck on one of my farms and figuring them out and setting out to kill them, which we'll continue to do that, but I feel like we're going to get back to doing some stuff at home, you know, do some hunts in PA, which you never see on the Outdoor Channel, very rarely, some stuff in Jersey, Maryland, you know, do take my dad back to the mountains and do a hunt and capture it in a cool cinematic, you know, high-end video, you know, not, you know, that's the kind of thing. It's like there's nobody on the Outdoor Channel that's hunting, you know, in these states where there's, you know, tons of license holders and, back to that kind of stuff instead of traveling to, you know, Missouri or these other places that everybody's kind of doing that. We're trying to kind of separate ourselves, still do that, you know, to an extent, but, you know, do some stuff in our home states and close by our home states. Those people on the East Coast, you get a chance to see what's happening, you know, in their state rather than other states.
All right, Scott Scarra is our guest here from Primal Instinct TV. You can find him online at primalinstinct.tv. We're going to speak more with Scott here in a couple of minutes. Find out about how hard it really is to hunt in Pennsylvania. And if you think it's tough in Michigan, it's the same thing. We're going to come right back. Speak more with Scott Scarra. Make sure you join us online, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Munt with Michael Waddell's Bone Clip. Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Osseo, Michigan is where you can find them. And Scott Sciarra, primalinstinct.tv is where you can find him. Also on the Outdoor Channel. Scott, a native of the Philly area out of Pennsylvania. Scott, when you look at the top three places for licensed bow hunters, licensed anglers, and overall licensed hunters, you know, in states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, in that order. And people go, oh, what? Why Pennsylvania? And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I thought the same thing, and you can explain that to me. Aside from populations, you don't think Pennsylvania and hunting.
Yeah. It was tradition, I guess. I mean, I think that's the main thing. The big mountains of Pennsylvania, every year I would go up there with my dad and his friends and their kids, and was kind of a one thing I miss. I mean, we would every morning, and he couldn't wait for us to hear those rifles cracking through the mountains. There's something special about it. You know, and then I kind of got into bow hunting because I couldn't gun hunt close to the city. There was lots of houses, and that made me pick up a bow to extend my season. I totally fell in love with that, and that's been my passion. It still is my passion, but it's sad in this area, close to the city. Not sure if they've done it in the Michigan area. All these big city parks and Valley Forge National Park, where you would drive through and there would be hundreds of deer, and everywhere there's not a deer left. They came in and culled every single one. And I work about 3 minutes from Valley Forge National Park, and I have a crazy day here at work, and I jump in my truck and I'd go sit on top, and I would sit and just watch deer, you know, while I'm eating lunch, and it was enjoyable. And I went over there in the winter and literally sat on top of that hill and just got disgusted because I would have sat there for an hour and didn't see a deer. And I haven't been back since. It is pathetic that they let these sharpshooters come in and kill all the deer, and you could have had bow hunters or a group, or, you know, they really just decimated them. It's sad.
That is kind of tough, and the pressure, you know, it's got to be pretty intense. I mean, Michigan, November 15th is our traditional gun opener, and you go by state land. It looks like a pumpkin patch out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad because the only place there's deer left is on private land where most people, you know, aren't allowed to hunt or have to sneak on to get on there. And the public land where everybody can go, there's no deer left. So it kind of, I think it's discouraging the youth and the kids that go out and sit and freeze and don't see a deer. It makes them not want to go back and do it again, which is sad, you know what I mean, because we want the sport to grow and do it with our kids. And, you know, luckily enough, you know, we have spots because we love it so much. But the average Joe that just does it, you know, might not be able to, might not introduce a kid that would have liked it, you know, because now he sat out there for 3 days in the freezing cold who didn't see a deer. So.
Scott Sciarra is our guest here, primalinstinct.tv, his website, Primal Instinct, the show. Scott, deer management in Pennsylvania, I mean, Michigan, we're just now catching on, and a lot of people have been doing it for a while in our southern counties, but there's such a crunch on time to get the job done that management does not become a foredrawn conclusion like it's becoming. How is it there?
Management's tough because of the number of hunters, and, you know, we have rifle hunting here, of course, makes it tough, and there's a lot of hunters. And the other problem is we don't, you know, still not, I feel, not being able to allow to hunt Sundays. So that's discouraging. Guys that work all week, you know, 9 to 5, have places upstate, and they drive 4 hours to get there, and they only can hunt Saturdays. So I think that's also another part that's kind of discouraging in this kind of archaic, you know, I hope one day, I don't know the real reason they don't change it, but it seems like we're a little bit, we can't get past it.
Yeah, that's tough, especially when you have a weekend, and a weekend now be consisted of Saturday in your area. Not a good thing for hunters. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits to it, and I'm sure they outweigh the real reasoning for hunting on Sunday. But, you know, I think it's going to take somebody to really make a push with the amount of licensed hunters and anglers you have in that state. I could see the voice being very loud.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it, you know, hopefully it goes through. There's times that I like to take my daughter out or kids on a Sunday because I'm busy all week at work. And, you know, makes you be able to use your properties more than people are paying for. It's just tough. But, you know how it is. Any day in the woods is still better than any day at work, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about what's coming up on Primal Instinct.
Well, we're on Monday nights at 5 on the Outdoor Channel, Friday nights at 9:30 on the Outdoor Channel. So two pretty solid times there to catch us. I think this week we're hunting in Ohio. We killed some really good deer. I missed a really good deer at the muzzleloader. Had a really long kind of, that kind of put a exclamation point on my season last year when I missed that one in Ohio. But everybody makes fun of me. They're like, you can shoot a deer at 100 yards with a bow and arrow, but you can't hit a deer with a muzzleloader at 50 yards. So that's kind of cool. We got that coming up, and then we do a local hunt at home in PA, and a little bit end up lining up down in Wilson's in Maryland, and some turkeys and bears, and you know, just 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, just you know, rotating who's in front of the camera and just having fun and getting it done.
Now, what about during the summer? I mean, are you doing any kind of land management? Are you working any properties right now?
Yeah, we've been, you know, my wife describes me as she says you will drive 6 hours to make your food plot look perfect, but you won't put a piece of grass seed down in the backyard. What the hell's wrong with you? And it's great because it's funny. We do take a lot of pride in that, and something special about planting that food plot, you know, if it's a mom and a fawn or a baby, watching them come out and eating it every night. I love that part of it as much as I do the hunting part of it, the whole preparation and preparing and running trail cameras and all that stuff's awesome. But our food plots look so good. They've been littered all over the biologic catalog for the past few years. I don't know. I just love it. I feel like the preparation is much fun. Maybe I appreciate it more. And I try to do everything I can to make those deer on our farm spend more time on there. It's kind of, I think, why we do it. And when it really all works out and pays off, it feels like all that hard work's worth it.
Real quickly, if you don't mind, what kind of seeds in the biologic that you guys are using?
It depends. Like, we have on our farms where their actual corn and beans are planted, I've been planting a lot of, they have a food plot called Maxim, which is a mix of New Zealand brassicas. We've had a lot of luck with that. I do a lot of oats. But usually just plant stuff for the hunt over because we do have working farms. I have some huge clover plots that I try to maintain from, you know, a long way off that can get challenging at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they come out of that long, hard winter, they have the first thing green is that clover. We do that, and we do supplemental stuff, you know, with trophy rocks and
sure,
mineral sites and, you know, all that stuff. And now we're just taking an inventory with trail cameras. And one thing cool is having leases in Kentucky and Ohio, where I spend a lot of my time in the fall. We have these 5-point live email cameras, which are really cool because they let us watch exactly what's going on from
sure,
home, you know, which is really neat. You don't have to come back and check a trail camera, you know, 2 months later. We're checking them as we're driving home in the car. We're getting deer on our cameras, which really makes it it actually works both ways. It makes it exciting, but it also, you know, in the middle of the season when you start getting pictures and you're 6 hours away, it makes it hard to work.
Yeah, it does. And distraction. Oh, squirrel! You know, no, actually, this time it's whitetail. So it's not a bad thing. Scott Skier, I appreciate you joining us. PrimalInstinct.tv. Check him out on the Outdoor Channel.
It's actually www.huntprimal.com.
Oh, huntprimal.com. Well, we'll put that link up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Check him out on Primal Instinct, huntprimal.com. Outdoor Channel, Scott Sierra. God, I can't believe it. I'm going to get it from you off air. I know I am. Check it out. We got Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News coming up next on Wild Michigan.
Send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Thanks to my buddy Scott Skier from Primal Instinct television show on the Outdoor Channel. You can check him out. We'll put a link to Scott. Even though, you know what? I mean, he's from Philly. We kind of like him. He's okay. You know, no, solid guy. And we talked about to him off air about, you know, you meet people, you don't know really what clicks, and all of a sudden you've got a friend, and he has definitely been that. He's a good guy and a very, very solid individual. Very happy to have him on the show. Another good friend of ours, Bill Parker, editor of Michigan Outdoor News, scrambling with deadlines right now, and this damn radio guy calls him up wanting his time. How you doing, Bill?
Good, Durant. Good, thanks. I always have time for you, buddy.
Buddy, I appreciate that. Burning the midnight oil literally last night and then today, you know, scrambling to get some things done. But I want to talk real quickly about this. Antlerless deer licenses downsized dramatically from last year. They have changed the amount of licenses they had from about, what, 550,000 for the 2013 season, down over 100,000 from there. But
yeah, it looks like about 435,000 this year.
Yeah, and you know, you and I were talking about this, and I was thinking, like, well, gosh, why didn't they want to really drop the antlerless permits? And then I got to thinking, outside of actual does, it's deer with, you know, antlers under 4 inches,
right,
which could be a real impact on those heavy hit EHD areas.
Yes, and that's the main reason for the reductions in southern Michigan. Obviously there were some reductions up north too that were more impacted by the winter and the weather and stuff, but in southern Michigan, particularly over in the southwestern corner of the state, they really got hit pretty hard a couple years ago with EHD. And the evidence that they found last year from harvest reports and talking with hunters and being out in the field and just seeing things themselves indicated that the herd, you know, was slowly rebounding, but you know, slow to rebound, I guess I should say. And they wanted to do something to maybe help that portion of the population along a little bit, so they made some significant reductions over in that area for antlerless permits, and in fact, the deadline is coming up on that as well for antlerless permit applications for anybody that wants to apply. August 1st is the end of the deadline for that. So if somebody is looking for an antlerless permit in the areas that they have been limited this year and that they are having a lottery, you got to get your applications in pretty quick or you'll be left out in the cold.
Yeah, antlerless deer applications, according to DNR email that I got, on sale now through August 15th.
Or August 15th, I'm sorry.
That's okay, you're scrambling. But but again, you want to get this permit in because of the changes. This isn't going to be like the old days where you can go over the counter and buy five.
Right.
Some things have really changed a lot. And again, michigan.gov/DNR is where you can find all of that. And again, it took me a second to think, you know, about why doe permits, let's just call them that, would decline. But I'm like, oh, you know, you've got button bucks, you've got spikes, and you know, to somebody that's not really educated, or even people, self included, make mistakes, you know, on what the difference between a very young buck and a doe.
Right. If it doesn't have 3-inch antler, it's classified as an antlerless deer, and that's why they're called antlerless permits, not doe permits, because sometimes they are put on a buck or a button buck or a buck with you know, very small antlers that people, like you say, sometimes it's inadvertent, they think it's a doe and didn't realize it and walk up to them, go, oh no.
Oh yeah, been there,
but,
done that, you know.
But antlerless permit is still good on a deer with antlers smaller than 3 inches.
Exactly. And Bill Parker joins us here. He's the editor of Michigan Outdoor News, our favorite outdoor publication here in Michigan. What else is going on that you're working on for the next issue?
Well, the other, I guess just one other quick thing is the reduction in the Upper Peninsula,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, yes.
They made some very significant reductions up there because last winter and this winter especially, we've had two back-to-back dismal winters, just very bad winters on the deer population up there. I've talked to a couple friends that live up there, and they said they didn't even see anything this year. They usually see a doe and a fawn here or there, or you know, some of the deer when they're coming out of the beds, and in some areas they're struggling to even find any deer. Obviously, they're not eliminated from the land, but the deer populations up there really took a hit with these two back-to-back severe winters, so things are going to be a little different up there this year, I'm sure.
No, you really want to check it out, because the deer management units available for the antlerless permits, only three, 055, 122, and 155, and you know, have been limited in other Upper Peninsula DMUs. And that's huge when you only have three deer management units up in the whole UP.
In the entire UP, right.
So, again, it's going to be a tough year, you know, to rebound, but I'm thinking they can do it, despite the fact that we've had such a long winter up there.
Yeah, And you know, that's life in the UP. I mean,
right, exactly.
It happens all the time, and I think the last time we had back-to-back winters was maybe 10 years ago that we had real severe winters like that again. And, again, the population just took a tailspin and went way down. You know, we can do all we can as humans to manage the deer populations, but Mother Nature has the final say.
Absolutely. You know, we can't control the weather.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we can try and predict it, we can't control it. But
no.
How's the fishing been around the state? Have you seen lots of good reports coming in?
Yeah, I sure have. Things seem to be going really well. I got off to a real good start this year and got out several times in the last month. It seemed to fishing hasn't gone downtown. Just my ability to get out and participate has. I haven't gotten out as much as often as I wanted to. But yeah, hearing some good things. You know, everything was a little bit behind there in the spring. At least a couple of weeks in some areas, maybe up to a month, especially in the UP, where they still had winter well into May.
Mm-hmm.
But things have settled down a little bit, and they're getting back into the regular patterns. And it seems like people are catching fish pretty good.
Now, walleye's been doing really well. Our good friend Chuck Mason has been telling us about, you know, three pass limits that he's been getting throughout the state. The salmon have been doing good, and now looking forward to fall, where I read that we have a huge duck breeding population in Michigan.
Yes, we sure do. Things look real good for waterfowlers this year. In fact, across the continent, breeding duck numbers are up. I think they counted like almost 50 million birds this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, things look real good for waterfowl. It looks like we're going to get an early teal season this year, which we haven't had in about 50 years. That season, it hasn't been officially approved, but everybody's on track with it. The Fed said it's a go. It's just a matter of formality now, getting everything, you know, I's dotted and the T's crossed. But it looks like we're going to have a September 1 through 7 early season for teal only. So that's exciting. The guys that are our avid waterfowlers are real excited about that, because a lot of time the blue wings are already gone by the time the
sure.
season is open here. So this early season will give us a chance at that. We've also got, in our next edition, we've got a small game forecast coming out, and game bird numbers look like they're in good shape this year, too. Grouse especially. The winter didn't hurt the grouse at all, and they thought this would be the bottom end of the predictable 10-year cycle with grouse, but it looks like we're on the upswing again. They're,
wow.
The spring drumming survey was up 16% from last year, the number of grouse that they heard drumming this spring. So that's a good indication. Again, my buddies up in the UP said they're seeing grouse everywhere they go. Woodcock is down a little bit. Their spring singing survey was down, but they attribute that possibly to the late winter. A lot of their springing or singing grounds may have been covered with snow,
mm-hmm.
because they start a little bit earlier than the grouse do, so that may have impacted it. And even getting some decent reports on pheasants. A lot of guys that were out turkey hunting and mushroom picking this year said they were hearing and seeing more pheasants than they have in the past. Not that we're back anywhere near where we used to be,
or
even close to that, but boy, it's just been a long time that you've even heard a pheasant crow, so that's kind of nice. I think some of the projects that are going on across the state may be helping that a little bit. But a lot of excitement for the grouse hunters. They're really pumped and ready to get out this fall.
All right, good news for Michigan upland game bird hunters and waterfowlers. Maybe I'll even pick up my bow this week. I've been thinking about it. Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News editor, joining us. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciated.
Always a pleasure, Duran. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Get back to work. More coming your way. We're going to speak with Jim Dufresne in the next hour, Michigan Trail Maps on Wild Michigan.
I'm Jimmy Gretzinger from Michigan Out of Doors Television, and you're listening to the man, the myth, the legend, Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan.
Like a honeybee beating on my screen door, I got a little buzz in my head, so
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Touting the likes of Lucky Buck. We've been using it for a couple of years. We love these guys to death down in Osseo, Michigan, and the product is pretty much speaks for itself, man. Lucky Buck, it's a deer mineral that we've been using, getting some serious antler growth and some good health in our deer herd. Wild deer herd, we'll have you know. We'll have some trail cam pictures posted up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, here pretty soon to kind of showcase what we've been doing for the past 3 years here on Wild Michigan. Actually, like 2.5-ish years, but I had the opportunity to meet them down at the ATA show a couple of years ago. I have been working with them, and Dave and Ron and everybody, and Abe and everybody at Lucky Buck have been wonderful people. We love them to death, and we encourage you to check out a fine Michigan product, if you will. Links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Going to take a couple of stories from the outdoor press room. 45, not funny, but very strange. It shows, again, the power of nature that we spoke of with Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News. You can control a lot of things in life. You cannot control weather and how Mother Nature interacts with us and with livestock and with wild animals. And in this case, particularly, a single lightning bolt killed 45 black Angus cattle, including cows, calves, and a prize bull that were hunkered down near some crabapple trees during a thunderstorm on a ranch near Darby, Montana on July the 14th. No one had ever heard of so many cattle being killed by lightning like that, rancher Gene Taylor said. We have 8 or 10 cows left in our herd. Now, you have maybe 55, let's just say 55 cows in a herd, 45 taken out by a lightning strike. And I guess we never put into perspective how many animals, you know, wild animals, white-tailed deer, the like, that are possibly killed by lightning strikes or by trees falling or things in that nature. But pretty interesting. Kind of puts things into perspective as to the power of lightning and Mother Nature. Another instance in Daytona Beach, from the Daytona Beach News Journal. 13-year-old Port Orange, Florida boy is recovering after his arm and chest were slashed by a 5-foot barracuda that leapt into his dad's boat like a torpedo last Sunday as the two fished in the Atlantic Ocean. Parker King received 27 staples and 17 stitches to his wounds. The incident is definitely not going to stop me from fishing, he said, but I won't fish for barracuda ever again. Tore up his whole right arm area and chest just by jumping in the boat. Interesting stuff. And as you may or may not know, California, huge problems with illegal marijuana crops growing there. A lot of people in parks and private land infiltrating these areas, illegally growing marijuana. And the California Fish and Wildlife reports that an illegal marijuana grow site near Bonnie Dune used diverted stream water and threatened steelhead trout, as well as endangered Central Coast coho salmon downstream from the South Fork of the San Vicente Creek. Now, two men were arrested and 180 mature plants were removed from the 6-acre property. If you've not seen how these illegal grow operations are working, a lot of times you have illegal immigrants coming in, growing things for cartels, for just people, you know, illegally growing marijuana in general. They divert water to these streams in these highly covered areas to grow their marijuana, but they also bring in lots of food and car batteries to power things so they're not seen, not using generators, not being heard. And they leave trash everywhere. They litter the sites in these California areas, among other places, and it really causes a big problem with polluting of our natural streams and natural waters, and again, completely illegal. So, again, hunting right about now, like Tom Nelson, our good friend, said, he was out blacktail deer hunting this month, and in an area very well known for illegal grow operations in Humboldt County, California. But Tom's back. We no illegal grow operations while filming the American Archer out there. No problems with that. Also, illegal hunting guiding leads to $66,000 in fines plus jail time in one of Oregon's largest poaching operations and investigations. A Bend man has been sentenced to 30 days in jail and ordered to pay $66,000 in fines for illegally guiding and hunting on a ranch without the landowner's knowledge. Authorities say between 2010 and 2012, Alan Roy Aronson, 43 years old, and his accompanying hunters killed dozens of elk and bison without valid tags or landowner permission. So, again, poaching coming to the front. Only 30 days in jail, but $66,000 in fines. I guess the short time in jail, I understand that, because we need to keep those rooms open for much harder criminals than poachers, although I do not agree with poaching personally. And again, glad that that person was caught. Now, if you've ever heard of the Jordan buck, one of the first really true world record bucks, taken November 20th, 1914, when 22-year-old Jim Jordan killed a 10-point buck near Danbury, Wisconsin, that years later, I mean, after this thing was sold at a yard sale, picked up by somebody, had to be remounted because it was a really rotten job that the initial taxidermist had done. But actually, the taxidermist moved, took the deer with him. Jim Jordan never saw the buck again while he was alive, as the story goes, and was later found, and then found by a relative. Again, ends up being a world record typical whitetail, scoring 206 and an eighth inches. 206 and an eighth. Typical. Until it was surpassed by the Milo Hansen buck in 1993. Plans are underway to recognize the Jordan buck centennial. Mind you, this is coming up on 100 years in Burnett County, with lots of events going on and possibly an appearance of the actual mount itself, now part of the Touring Bass Pro Shop's King of Bucks collection. And this is a really, really cool story. We'll put a link to it on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, that a world record class buck, having disappeared for so many years, finally being registered as a world record buck, and then beaten in 1993 by the Hansen buck. Very cool stuff, man. If you're into whitetails, you're into records, at 206 and an eighth typical is a monster. And when you look at the pictures, the beams, the thickness of the beams themselves is just amazing. His hands are not going around the mass on the beams, but it's pretty interesting stuff. And I take back the part about him not seeing it, but I think he did find it prior to his death. But all that amount of time that went by to have a world record and not really be able to claim it. But a lot of research, a lot of work was able to track that down and get the Jordan buck its proper recognition. So you can check that out again on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can also find all of our podcasts on there, and we would love to have your pictures from this year's fishing trips, from last year's deer hunting. If you're a waterfowler, you know, send us some pictures. You hunt rabbit, you hunt squirrels, the kids are out hunting. Please share those pictures with us. You can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/wildmichigan. You can send them directly to me at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Also, if your nonprofit organization or your club has an event coming up, we would like to post that as well. Again, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. We would like to be as helpful to you as we possibly can. There's no charge for our nonprofit organization friends or your nonprofit club, like our friends at Thorny Acres or Chief Oakland Sportsman's Club, Chelsea Rod and Gun Club, wherever you guys are at, let us know so we can share that event information on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can click on our events page and see that for yourself. We would love to share those things with us. and you, the Wild Michigan listener. And thanks again to everybody for listening to our podcast. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we've got Jim Dufresne. He has a new book out about Michigan trail maps, the first of its kind, and this will be the first interview for Jim since this book has been re-released and updated. And we're going to find out about hiking in Michigan. This is pretty cool stuff. Also, a few surprises coming up with Dave Thomas from Bowhunter Planet. We're going to check out the test lab, find out what's new in the world of archery right here. Keep it here, Wild Michigan, and our website, wildmichiganradio.com.